But, you know, nothing like that has ever happened in human history. It would definitely be something totally new, something totally unseen. All the time since Christ walked the earth till now, for sure. It's going to kill massive amounts of sea life. Does it mean the sea is actually going to be called into literal, like, human blood? Well, I don't know. It could be miraculous, but it also could be all these dead creatures. It's going to make the waters bloody and filthy and etc. And the ships being destroyed. One-third of ships, one-third of the creatures killed, destroyed. Verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. I remember back in the 80s, when Chernobyl happened, they pointed out the word Chernobyl in Russian means wormwood. Well, that's interesting that they have that, but I guess my question would be, what is Fukuyama, or what was that Japanese reactor that just blew up? What is it? Does that mean wormwood in Japanese too? And just every time a nuclear accident happens, that's this? There fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. A lot of this could be corollary events. It might be part of a major interstellar collision, or not interstellar, I mean a major collision from space of basically some sort of ice cloud. You know, like if you had an object coming in from space, you know, that were going to strike this, all this, you know, hail and fire, all this could be interpreted in a very naturalistic sense, but it could also be miraculous. Either way, I would look for events that were like this. You see this star burning. Now, people always, I always think it's interesting when they, you know, they look at this and say, well, you know, stars are giant gas balls and they're trillions of miles across or whatever, and they're, you know, they don't fall. They're, you know, those are meteors, not falling stars. But you understand, you know, they call the planets wandering stars, and those lights up in the sky, that's what a star is. Now, they didn't have our scientific definitions of stars, planets, and all that. Well, they did, in, you know, there was definitely differentiation between stars and planets. But the you know, shooting stars, that comes down in our culture as a term. And so does this have to be an actual, you know, like we would the way we understand cosmologically a star? No, I don't think so. It would refer to something that was an apparent, a bright object from the sky, apparently coming and falling to the earth, burning as it were a lamp, and falling upon the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now on fresh water, before we had the sea, and now we have another object which falls upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they are made bitter. So now we have water tainted, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. A lot of people are going to die from this. I mean, when you think what happens when the third part of the ships are destroyed, everyone abandoned the ships. I mean, we're talking about major amounts of death and destruction. These trumpets announce the beginning of the end. This word wormwood, there's no real special definition for it. It refers to an actual a plant, wormwood, a poisonous, bitter plant. And the star is called after that because it makes things, makes the waters bitter and undrinkable and deadly, in fact. Easily with some sort of, you know, object from space like a comet, the chemical makeup and the reactions it could have with the water could easily, or like I said before, it could just be purely miraculous. The fourth angel and the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon and the third part of the star, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. And, you know, this would all, like I said, be part of the same event, because now you have the sun and the moon and the third part of the star. Everything is darkened. And whenever they talk about an object colliding with the earth, it would throw up all kinds of dust into the air. There'd be all this dust coming up, quite possibly a broken up object falling in, you know, one big chunk in the ocean, a lot of chunks on fresh water, maybe the Great Lakes. I mean, there go a third of the water probably easily. But, you know, it could fall all over the place, poisoning water. And then also the dust that was kicked up would cause the sun to be darkened and the moon to be darkened and also the stars. So where, you know, it's darkened by a third. And the day shall not, and the night likewise. Everything is darkened, darkened, darkened. There'll be darkness. There'll be dark times. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the next three trumpets, woe, 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 the woe trumpets, as they're often called. The angel announcing these trumpets. And I do think that the next three trumpets the first three will readily be understood as being end time events. Whereas the next three, I think in many ways, may not be so easily understood by everyone. You know, and that's what makes them so much more woeful. And it's interesting, you look at all this devastation brought on by the first four trumpets, and you think, and woe? That's the thing I don't get, is that being killed, it happens to all of us in our lifetime. We all die. And the promise to Christians is that he will raise us up so that we will never die. Though we may sleep for a time, we will be raised in an incorruptible body. But during the trumpets, could Christians be killed? Oh, I think so. Why not? But if God needs to preserve us through that or wants to, he will. He can preserve us in the midst of all kinds of troubles. I had a dream once, and a prophet had a dream, let him tell a dream. Well, I had a dream once that I was in those times, and I had no water. I remember looking at the water bottle in my house. I was sitting in my kitchen, and the water bottle was capped, and it began to just fill up from the bottom. God can provide for us in any time. And just like the prophet Elijah, he sent ravens to bring him food. You know, so we should not fear. We should trust, rather, just like Peter walking on the water. I mean, we can do things that are impossible in their time, but they can be done with the power of God and through faith. We shouldn't doubt him. But then you think that what's coming after these four is even worse. Because I'll tell you what, the wrath of God is not for Christ believers. But being killed is not the wrath of God. I mean, not in the biblical sense of the end times, the wrath of God. You know, that's not, you know, we escape his wrath. As it says, men will desire to die and death shall flee from them. That's in the next trumpet. You know, that's something altogether different than simply having a giant rock fall on you. It's not the end of the world. But for a man who loves his life and who does not have faith in the resurrection, death is the end. It is the thing we all instinctively fear. You know, that's why we come to Christ, to be saved from death, that we should not be left in the grave and have no resurrection. That is why we believe on him for our salvation. That's what salvation is. It's salvation from death. Resurrection. To have a good resurrection and to inherit eternal life.